Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Final hour of the program. Of course, that means the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuckery always gets the first request. A little rainy night in Georgia. A little Brooke Benton. It's all brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Try the Chattanooga Whiskey Cask 111. It's the only Tennessee high malt bourbon handcrafted in small batches and bottled unfiltered from the cask. This is what we call a big deal. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Too. Leave us a message there. Hit us up on the radio.com app. That's how you listen to the radio station when you're outside of your vehicle. That's such a nice, smooth song, isn't it? I mean, just that song just makes you feel kind of good and, you know, just listen to the rain come down and have a cigar. It's been rainy here lately. I guess it's been that time of the year. So as we're officially into fall, right? We're officially into the fall season. Radio.com app, put that on your device. Take that smartphone, those Alexa speakers, that tablet, that Commodore 64, your Sega Genesis, your Swatch Watch, your Coleco, your Intellivision. I don't know what your device is. Just download onto something to be able to catch us on the go. Social media, at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms. As always, the best way to keep up with this show, it's through our personal Twitter handles. Hit us up at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, all of your water cooler talking points. 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that's out there. He is in Midtown producing the show. He'll spin the hits the rest of the way, and he'll ask the questions coming up at 10:40 for Rank'em. Of course, we will ask you to give us your lists as well. Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. Let's get to our college football roundup.
It's time for the College Football Roundup. A complete look at all the collegiate football action. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, before I want to talk about kind of wrapping up this past weekend that we had. So Notre Dame and Wake Forest were postponed this past Saturday, and it was because of coronavirus through the Notre Dame program. 25 players had to be in isolation, 14 in quarantine, stemming from two events back on September 19th in the game against South Florida. So Notre Dame's team ate their team meal together, their pregame team meal together, and it turned out that one player who threw up on the sideline from dehydration, I guess, was treated for that, but I guess it ended up testing positive for COVID-19 and just kind of, I guess, kind of spun out of it. They say he had the symptoms or whatever like that. I don't know. See, this is the thing, is that it gets so touchy and tricky about how all of it, but they did have tests that came back positive. So with that, they had to cancel their game against Wake Forest. But it looks like in tracing it back, a team meal, pregame team meal against South Florida, and then somebody throwing up on the sidelines all kind of started that downward spiral of everything. So these things happen. Now, we talked briefly last night. This Georgia State thing the fact that they misread these tests after two rounds of tests that came back negative. They found, what was it, four tests that came back positive on Friday before they left out to go play their game. And it turns out that they misread the tests, that there was a human error on Friday that caused the error in the test results. It says, as part of our protocols, we tested the individuals again Friday afternoon. We're informed by our lab Friday night that none tested positive. They also retested the swabs from Thursday, and all tested negative as well. It was at this point that the lab director informed our medical staff that a human error Friday morning caused the error in test results. I mean, this is the these are the tricky things that you have to go through, right? These are the tricky hurdles that you're going through when you start talking about the COVID testing. And, you know, a game against Charlotte, you don't want to lose that game, okay? But it's not like, for instance, they went to Alabama and lost a whole lot of money or something like that. But imagine if something like that happened where Georgia State's headed to Alabama to play them or something, and they end up losing $1 million because they can't make the game. So where does that accountability come from? So at that point, where does the accountability fall for something like that? It's a tricky, tricky situation. All right, kind of looking back at the weekend that was in college football as the SEC got things kicked off. Certainly the game of the day, and I said it was the game I was most looking forward to, was the Mississippi State and LSU game. Of course, Mississippi State wins that game. KJ Costello, remember, the transfer quarterback from Stanford, sets an all-time SEC record for, what was it, 623 yards. The stat that was fascinating that Ed Orgeron put out there, I don't know if you saw this, Jarvis. Ed Orgeron said they had 383 yards after catch. Now, understand, Derek Stingley didn't play. The best corner in America. Maybe the best defensive player in America. He didn't play. They only had four starters from last year's team that were on the field. And I said, I don't know. I didn't know what to trust about LSU's offense. I didn't know what to trust about Miles Brennan. They were okay, nothing great, but Mississippi State's not a great defense. Give Mississippi State credit. They did a tremendous job running that offense. Costello was magnificent, and they went and found a win. Now, I thought LSU was very much overrated. They were fifth in the coaches' poll, sixth in the AP. I didn't understand why they were getting so much preseason love when they lost everybody. And then, you know, once it's not just all the NFL guys that went, but you had multiple guys that were sitting out. You know, Jamar Chase, maybe the best wide receiver in America, he decided to sit out, opt out for the season. I just didn't see where all the love for LSU was coming from. And I'm not, we may talk about this on our college football show on Saturday, 9 to noon, college football game time, myself, Randy Mack, and Chris Goforth. We may talk about this on Saturday on our show. In a few years, and I'm not saying it's going to be 3-9 bad, but will Ed Orgeron have done anything more than what Gene Chizik did? Chizik won a national title with Auburn. And then it was a lot of bad years. Orgeron's had better years than that around it. But is Ed Orgeron a great coach because he won a national title last year? Does that put him in that top group? I don't think so. He's a great recruiter. I think he's a great motivator. I don't think he's a great coach. Time will tell, right? But that game was wild. We talked with Georgia, you know, talked with Chip Towers. One thing about Georgia, man, is you ain't going to have to worry about their defense. Their defense is every bit legit, and it's going to keep them in every game. Even if their offense has struggles and such, their defense is so good and so lights out that it's going to keep them in everything. But I will tell you, that was as bad of a first half of football I've ever watched in my entire life. That was painful to have to sit there and watch that first half. Somebody should have paid me to have to watch that first half. It was so bad. I mean, that game was, what, 7-5 in the first half? I mean, dreadful to have to watch it. So bad. But Georgia did what they had to do in the second half and got things going, you know. But this week against Auburn is going to be, you know, it's going to be a terrific matchup. We'll talk about that, you know, more as the week goes on here. Now, the other local team in town, Georgia Tech. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that garbage was that they took up to Syracuse there and lost it. And I understand Georgia Tech's got a long way to go, but still, that was a lousy, dreadful Syracuse team. DeVito had been sacked 14 times the first 2 weeks of the season. Their offense stinks. They get out to a 17-0 lead. Tech gets it back to, was it 23-20 that Tech got it back to or something like that? Five more turnovers. That's the story for Tech, man. It's all the turnovers and the inopportune times that they come up with turnovers, these red zone turnovers. I understand that they've got a bunch of young guys, but that was a winnable football game on Saturday. That's a bad group of guys at Syracuse. They're not good. They've been a huge disappointment. They're not a very good team. And you let one go away. You know, you let one slip out of your hands that they absolutely could have won. There's no reason why Tech shouldn't be 2-1 right now. But Syracuse just took it to them. And once again, all of the turnovers. Tech's not a good enough team to overcome five more turnovers. They're not a good enough and talented enough team to hand out five turnovers to somebody else and then find a way to get it done. They just can't do it. Now, looking nationally, how about Oklahoma, second year in a row that they lose to Kansas State? If you don't think that Bob Boolsby crapped his pants after that game, because Texas, they had to squeak by and hang on. But what happens if Oklahoma beats Texas in the Red River Shootout? And just like we do on College Football Game Time, okay, we call it the Red River Shootout. We don't call it the Red River Rivalry or the Red River Man. We call it the Red River Shootout because that's what it was called. We are politically incorrect on here, okay? So send your hate texts and hate tweets. We call it the Red River Shootout. But what happens if Texas goes down? I'm telling you, Texas loses. Tell me how they're getting in the Big 12 is getting in the playoff. After Oklahoma goes up and then Kansas State comes back and takes it right to them. How's the Big 12 getting in? Boy, you don't think Ohio State and the Big 10 didn't just say, whew, thank you, Kansas State? They got to be thanking Kansas State for that one, because that just opened the door wide open for a Big Ten team to complete their schedule and find themselves in the playoff. So that was just an unbelievable point. And the way Texas had to come back in that game against Texas Tech, that was crazy. That was crazy how they had to come back. But that's Texas Tech. I mean, Texas Tech has always been a defense optional kind of school, right? That's what they do. It's always defense optional for them. But things really got... Listen, I thought Tennessee-South Carolina was an entertaining game. Good for Tennessee. I picked them in our picks. You know, I thought that they'd find a way to go in there and win against South Carolina. Tennessee's starting to turn the corner. They're starting to figure some things out. You know, they got a ways to go, but they've done a really good job in their recruiting class, especially this past year. Jeremy Pruitt, they gave him an extension, by the way. You see where they got a two-year extension added on to his contract. He's done a really nice job recruiting up there. He'll do a good job. I still say Tennessee's one of those programs that it's better when they're good. And then, of course, Miami and what they did to Florida State. That game is as much about how bad Florida State is right now than it is how good Miami is. Is Miami good and are they improved? 100%. But I'm telling you, Florida State's lousy. Florida State lost to Georgia Tech on their home field. Okay, and I'm not saying that Georgia Tech isn't improved, but considering how bad Georgia Tech was in Syracuse, Florida State is dreadful. There's a lot of rebuilding that's got to go on at Florida State. I mean, of the four big schools, there's no question. Miami, Florida, Central Florida, Florida State. There's no question Florida State's fourth on that list. And by a mile, they're not even close to any of those three other programs. Not Central Florida, not Florida. We'll talk about them in a second. And certainly not Miami. They're way fourth. And finally, how about Kyle Trask and what he did? He got the vote for preseason All-SEC quarterback. Listen, if he can really take that next step forward, you know, they've got a chance to be really, really good. Really good. All right, when we get back, no excuses. The keys to victory for the Atlanta Braves in this series coming up. We'll do that next. Chuck Reese Show, Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on the Radio.com app.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. Wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay.
Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuck Reese Show. Headed toward the top of the hour, the JR Sports Brief. Brown Liquor Music Hour. Rolling right along. Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Get ready for the weekend with Chattanooga Whiskey. Available at your favorite Atlanta retail store. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. You'll want that number as well because we're going to do Rank 'Em coming up here in the next segment. So if you've got a list and you want me to rank them, put that out there on the text line for us. We also ask you to download the Radio.com app to catch us on the go. We also ask you to follow us on our social media platforms. It's at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. As we said, we'll do Rank 'Em coming up next. Of course, tomorrow at noon as we're watching playoff, this game's, is it officially over yet? Because I couldn't watch it anymore. The Indians were down, it's still 12-2 in the ninth inning, for God's sakes. Just get the game over with, will you, for God's sakes. It's 12-2 in the ninth inning. Indians just fiddle-farting around. They beat the daylights out of Shane Bieber tonight. So four games in the books tonight, four more, I should say, the four NL games get started along with all the AL games. So eight playoff games tomorrow. Braves at 12 o'clock. And what will feature the best pitching matchup, at least on paper, of the series, as you get Max Fried versus Trevor Bauer, the two guys that will finish 1-2 in the National League, Cy Young. Now, when you look at this Cincinnati Reds team, when I tell you that their averages are dreadful, that they are, you know, the epitome of home run or nothing, when I tell you that that's what they are, that is what they are. You know, most of their guys, including, by the way, Joey Votto, who even at, you know, his age, by the way, still found a way, older and banged up Joey Votto, still found a way to hit 11 home runs. You know, he's 36 years old at this point. So he can hit 36, or he can hit 11 homers, and Markakis can hit one. Okay, anyway. But look at their batting. Their starting catcher, 204. Votto was 226. Moustakas was 230. Galvis, their shortstop, 220. Suarez, their third baseman, who's got some pop with 15 homers and 38 RBIs, but he hit 202. Akiyama, their outfielder, 245. Nick Senzel, their center fielder, 186. Castellanos, who's got some pop, 14 homers, 34 RBIs, he hit 225. Winkler hit 255. Casale, their backup catcher, 224. You know, they are a home run or nothing kind of team. And look, a lot of that has to do with the ballpark that they play in, that Great American Ballpark. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. That's one of the best bandbox home run ballparks that there is in Major League Baseball. There's no question about it that that's one of the premier places to hit home runs into. But what they are is they're a lights-out starting rotation. You know, Trevor Bauer is going to win the Cy Young in the National League. He's been that good. this year. Sonny Gray is no slouch. You know, they've got three really good starting pitchers out there, and they'll match up very well from that standpoint with the Atlanta Braves. And it's a series where it feels like, you know, the Braves are going to have to figure out a way. By the way, Luis Castillo's their third pitcher. He had a 3.21 ERA with 89 strikeouts in 70, you know, innings. They strike out lots of guys. You know, they create a lot of outs without contact. You know, that thing that you want in playoff baseball, they create a lot of outs without contact. And so that's the one thing that they have going for them. But if you can get past their starters and get in their bullpen, you know, you definitely have a much better shot because their bullpen is not great. Certainly not what the Braves are going to trot out there. You know, in the battle of bullpens, the Braves certainly have that advantage. We won't know what the roster looks like for this game tomorrow until tomorrow morning or, you know, in a handful of hours at this point. The rumor and innuendo, as we like to say in the wrestling podcast world, is that Luke Jackson will not be part of the playoff roster, at least for this round. If you're not familiar with, by the way, here's how it works in the playoffs. It's 28-man rosters, so the expanded roster stays the same. It's still universal DH, so the Braves will benefit immensely from that because they can play Ozuna and Markakis. That's two guys who can jack it out at any moment in time. They also, though, are not doing the man on second base when you get to extra innings. So in extra inning games, there will no longer be Doink the Clown, Fake Razor, Bastion Booger. There won't be any gimmicks, because that's what that is. They might as well put Doink the Clown out at second base, right? They might as well put Glenn Jacobs as Fake Diesel out there, because it's a guy. They might as well put the Goon out there, because it's all a gimmick, right? So they won't have that with it. So I still would like to see the Braves get where they've got Ozzy and Acuna and Dansby hitting all close together to try to create some runs without having to hit the ball out of the ballpark. Take the speed of those guys, their ability to get on base, their ability to move around the bases, and use that to their advantage. And I said that if there's only one thing that I wish the Braves would do more of, it's run more. And they do a lot of things where they can, if they want to, they can definitely create pressure on defenses. I just think they need to do that more. And I think if you get a couple of guys on, you've got to find a way to be able to put the pressure on that starting rotation of the Reds. Now, I'm with some of the texters. I'm not crazy about this three-game set, and I really hope they don't go to this expanded playoff next year. I really don't like the expanded playoff because you get some very average teams in the playoffs, and I'm not for that. It should be a reward getting to the playoffs, not just you survived the attrition of getting to the playoffs. So this is going to be a fun series in these three games. I think the Braves have to get out in game one and get it done. I think they have to set the tone that, you know, Trevor Bauer had the comment the other day when they asked him about Ozuna and Freddie about, I don't know, I'll talk about it after the series, after we win the series. I don't think listen, Trevor Bauer likes taking shots and stuff. I didn't get as offended by it as some people did, okay? He said they're both great hitters, okay? Not like he dissed one of those two guys, but he's supposed to say we're going to win the series. What's he supposed to say? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we got a shot or not. Well, I don't know if we have a chance. They were red hot in September, and he was the pitcher of the month in September. Why would he not think that they have a realistic shot to win this thing? Why would he not? Why would he not think that they have a great opportunity to go out there and do it? Why would he not think that? He should. He should think that. But I think the Braves have to flex their muscle, get out in front early, get game one, and set the tone of this thing. You know, you don't want the Reds to think that they can get this thing done and they can wrap this series up. And, you know, listen, game one, whew. You know, you want to talk about that switch that's flipped. And, You know, I heard from Snitker earlier today, and he was talking about, you know, he thought last year's team was built to make a deep run in the playoffs and this, that, and the other, and they didn't, obviously, and he thinks that this team's even better. I agree. I don't disagree with what Freddie Gonzalez. I don't disagree with what Brian Snitker says right there. But I think you have to go out and flex your muscle against a team like the Reds. You want them having to try to play from behind. You want them having to go to their bullpen out of desperation. You want them having to feel like they're a desperate team on your home field. That's why this game won, I think, in this series, given the starting pitching that the Reds have. Because let me tell you, if the Reds win game one, okay, knowing that I have a day or two off if I win the second game, okay, I'm playing game two of this round when I'm a big underdog, although I know there's a lot of national media folks that pick the Reds, but they're an underdog for sure. If I'm the Reds and I can find a way to win game one, I am playing game two like it's game seven of the World Series. Well, it's only the first round, Chuck. You have to play with your hair on fire. And I think the Braves really could set the tone of this series by taking that offense and going out there and in the first inning getting a couple of runs off Trevor Bauer. Basically the way the Yankees did tonight. If you want the blueprint, get a guy on, you know, get nephew Ronnie or Ozzy on and let Freddie homer him in. And now it's 2-0. And now you got the whole game turned around. Because the Yankees put it on the Indians tonight. Yankees put it on the Indians like that. They got to come out with the same mindset of, let's get up early on these guys. Let's go get us some runs early on. And set the tone. And make the Reds realize we're the bigger, badder, you know, boys on the block here. And you're in our house and you're not going to come in here and win. And take out their best starting pitcher immediately, the guy who's going to win the Cy Young. Take him out. So, 12 o'clock tomorrow, of course, that's the matchup, Braves and Cincinnati Reds. Don't forget programming note. We will have Gabe Burns on with us tomorrow night at 7:20. So, we will get reaction right after the game from the Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So, good, bad, or ugly, we will have it. But hopefully it's all good. So, it's good to have Max Fried back. I know they wanted him to pitch. You know, they were ideally hoping for another inning or so out of him in that final start, but it didn't happen that way. But, look, it is what it is, and, you go into it with your best pitcher out of all of it. And I think the other reason, too, that you want to make sure you get game one is you don't want to feel like you have to ask your rookie to stand on his head or feel like you have to hope that Kyle Wright can stand on his head again. I don't want to have to put Kyle Wright in a high leverage situation. That's one thing. And I don't want to have to put the weight of, you know, the entire series on my rookie's back, where if I lose game one, now I've got Ian Anderson. Yeah, I understand. He pitches like he's older. But again, playoff baseball is a different animal altogether. Playoff baseball is a different animal when you get in it. And you saw it today. You know, the Yankees scored a bunch of runs, but none of these other, you know, the Twins only scored one with their massive offense. White Sox have been, you know, the American League version of the Braves. They only scored four runs today. Indians have a great offense. They scored two. Get them early. Don't wait. All right, when we come back, it's time for Rank 'Em. Have a little bit of fun with you on a Tuesday evening. Sports Radio, not on the game, on the radio.com app. Sports Radio, nights in the game. Back with you on the John Chuckery Show. Headed toward the top of the hour in the JR Sports Brief. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. It's brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Drink better during happy hour with award-winning Chattanooga Whiskey 91. Available at your favorite Atlanta retail stores. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Not enjoying a Chattanooga Whiskey right now, but I am drinking some ice cold Red Rock ginger ale. Because I knew I was going to need something to help me get through all of this. Because we used to do something called Pick Randy's Brain, 404-741-0929, at JamesH316, at JarvisDNet. We've got Rankums coming in on the text line and on my Twitter page as well. So we used to do a thing called Pick Randy's Brain. I'd pick Hugh's brain, pick Randy's brain, get some inside information from those guys. One of the things I used to do, though, was give them a list to put together to see what they thought. So we thought we'd steal the idea, and we call it Rankum.
All right, Chuck. So, you know, I've been going through some of the Rankums here on Twitter and Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We've got quite a few, man. So I'm going to go ahead and get started, man. Go ahead and crank this thing up a little bit. Start off here. We kind of been mentioning it throughout the show and kind of talked about it off air. How about this? Clorox wipes, hand sanitizer, toilet paper, N95 mask. Rank them.
Give me toilet paper because I go through a lot of that.
Oh, wow.
Give me the
a lot of information
Clorox.
There.
Yeah, it is. yeah, you don't want to know.
Well, we know now.
I didn't go to Auburn and take the trees or anything. But so toilet paper one. Give me the Clorox wipes too, because they're good for a lot of different things.
Even yes.
Before the pandemic, they were always good for things. Give me the hand sanitizer 3, and the masks can go at the end. I wear the masks. I wear the mask when we're at stores or public or whatever like that. But I'm over the mask thing. I mean, I'll do it because it's the thing to do and it's what we should do for right now and get through it all. You know, wear it now to get through it all. But yeah, I'm done with the mask, especially the N95 mask too. Yeah, F those things.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do a little baseball here. How about this? This is from Big Scott on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Ricky Henderson, Tony Gwynn, Paul O'Neill, and Ken Griffey Jr. Rank them.
Oh, Griffey goes 1.
Oh, no doubt.
The kid.
Yes, sir.
The natural. Gotta go Griffey 1. Ricky Henderson, too, man. A huge Ricky Henderson fan. Guy could do it all.
I like to thank myself, Ricky.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, talking in the third person.
Yes, sir.
Should have been a unanimous Hall of Fame. He should have been a unanimous Hall of Fame selection. I go Tony Gwynn 3, and, you know, Paul O'Neill, F the Yankees, F
oh,
Paul
my,
O'Neill.
Yes,
F,
yes.
F all those guys.
Can we throw Jim Larritz on there, too? Can he be the number one? Can he be 0?
Yeah.
0.
Larritz, Bernie, Randy Velarde.
Oh.
I mean, there's a whole list of the
John
guys.
Wetland.
Hayes.
Oh, screw all of those cats.
Exactly. All of them.
Every last one of them, man. Like, only one I halfway like is Mariano Rivera. It was just something about him. But I don't like him. But he's my least liked player off of those teams. Yeah.
Mine would be Jeter. I mean, I think Jeter's just.
Yeah.
He's so clutch.
Yeah.
He's so clutch and just. You know, he was the captain and just, I don't know. I mean, I want to hate Jeter, but when you look at his resume off the field.
Oh, yeah. I was just about to say, I knew that was coming.
I mean, listen, if I could buy gift baskets, I'd be Derek Jeter for a day too, man.
Think about that accomplishment, though. Like, you never heard any gossip.
Not just a accomplishment.
Those accomplishments. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Plural
and,
for those scoring at home.
And not a few. Not a few. I mean, like a dumpster truck full of accomplishments. Yeah, and you're right. Not a bad word.
Yeah.
Not a bad word.
Not a one. And he's gotten married and everything, and there's still no nothing. Just nothing.
Because he knew how to play the game. He knew somebody taught him well. I don't know who it was, but somebody taught him well about how to play the game. There's no reason to go burn bridges. When you have that kind of fame and everybody wants to be with you, why burn bridges? Why burn bridges with anybody? You know, everybody already wants to be with you. Why burn any bridges for it?
Damn, man.
No need to do it.
Shout out to Jeets, man, for being able to accomplish something like that, man. Like, be a single man throughout your entire career and then get married afterwards and never hear a peep. Not a not even so much a rat pissing on cotton worth of news about his personal life.
I'd have had Jay-Z as my walking music. I'd have been playing Big Pimpin' and just been rolling down the street.
Hey, man. Probably one of the better collabs ever in my eyes. Like there was no hotter song than that song at that time.
Absolutely.
From club spins to radio play, that was just an amazing track, by the way.
My favorite side one was the follow-up, the one that had Pharrell. I'm a hustler, baby.
Oh.
I just want you to know.
And that was when videos were hot back then.
Yes.
Oh, and the Vixens were, rolling.
What's the title of that song?
I'm a hustler. Yeah. You know, we just make up names for songs.
I'm
a hustler. Big Pimpin' probably wasn't the name of that song, but, it's called Big Pimpin'.
I think Big Pimpin' was the name of that song. I'm trying to think about that. What is the title of that song with Pharrell? I love that song. I'm a hustler, baby.
Oh.
I just want you to know. It ain't where I've been. Where I'm about to go.
I just want to love you. It's called Frontin'. The name of the song is Frontin'. Yes.
Okay. I love the part when he's talking about singing off key and everything.
Oh,
I love that. I love that part of it. Yeah.
There you go. How about that one? All right. So, and let's go to Twitter. This is from James Butler. You might have to school me on that one. This one about these guys, the Thompson Twins, Tears for Fears, Depeche Mode,
Depeche Mode and NXS.
Looked that up, and it said it's pronounced Depeche.
No, it's pronounced Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode. Okay. All right, we'll take your word for it.
I'll take Tears for. I saw Tears for Fears a few years ago.
Okay.
In concert when they were opening for Hall & Oates. I love Tears for Fears. Give me Tears for Fears 1.
Okay.
Give me NXS 2. Their NXS's Greatest Hits is a great album. Give me NXS 2.
Okay.
Give me Depeche Mode 3 and. All right. I'll take the Thompson Twins 4. Some of their songs are okay. They were kind of strange. Hold Me Now is not bad. Doctor is not bad.
I heard it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yes, I got you. Yes, right. That's exactly right. Yeah, okay. It's the Thompson Twins.
All right.
They were called the Thompson Twins, but there were three people in the group.
A lot of easy listening type stuff? Yeah.
Well, they are... Those four groups that he gave you are considered more like glam rock, like NXS, Depeche Mode, Thompson. Those are more like glam rock. Now, Tears for Fears was an English group. But they kind of fall into that 80s, what we called glam rock, is what that was known as. Yeah, the glam rock groups of the 80s. Flock of Seagulls would be in that as well. They sang that song, Don't You Forget About Me. Oh, man, why'd my brain go dead? What's the name of that group? Oh, man, they had so many hits. Simple Minds. They would fall into that kind of glam rock of the 80s as well.
Oh, not bad. Okay, because I was kind of wondering. I was like, what's kind of like the genre that is? But I've heard, I've heard a couple songs that you mentioned. So, all right, let's get to...
You'd probably know more. If I played you songs from those guys, from all those different bands, you'd probably know more of those than you realize.
I'm sure.
Because there's a lot of them that were really played a lot on radio.
How about this one, Chuck?
By the way, we do have to say, because we kind of talked about this off air but didn't mention on air, I'll give that new Star 94 credit. That damn station's really catchy, man. New Star 94 format, that's a very catchy
you
station.
Feeling the vibes that it's putting off?
I enjoy it very much. I've listened a few times in the mix of songs that they have. I got to say, God bless our sister station. I enjoy the, I'm all about that girly pop. I'm all about girly pop. So
okay.
You give me the girly pop and I'm in for it, man. I'm all in. Give me the girly pop. I'm with it. Yep.
So what's an example of your favorite? Give me your favorite girly pop song.
Like for instance, Love You Like a Love Song by Selena Gomez. J-Lo, Britney Spears, How about Evacuate the Dance Floor by, what's that girl's name? Cascada or Cascada? Evacuate the Dance Floor. Stuff like that. Britney, Toxic by Britney.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love all that girly pop. You know, early Madonna, you know, Dress You Up and that kind of stuff. Holiday and all that. I love all that girly pop stuff.
You know what, Chuck? Absolutely. I'm looking at you differently now, man.
Ariana Grande, No Tears Left to Cry, Break Up With Your Boyfriend. I'm all about that girly pop, man. I love that stuff.
Nice.
Hey, listen, guys got to do what he's got to do, you know? We all have our things that we like. Is that it? We're done? Wow. That was
yeah,
a
man.
Big,
we kind of burned through that one, man. Yeah, man.
All right. About well, quickly. We get back. We'll do the Love TKO and hand it over to JR Sports Brief. It's all coming up next. Wrapping things up on the Chuck Reese Show. Sports Radio, Nights in the Game, and on the radio.com app. Way after dark.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh, oh.